Hey everyone, it's Julie Hagenbuch. This is Radio Free Lewisburg. Radio Free Lewisburg is a group of neighbors and friends here in rural Pennsylvania who will be checking in regularly. Over the last week, our lives have changed, all of our lives. Many of us have lost work. We are spending a lot of time inside our houses. Our kids are at home, and we are reminding ourselves to stay calm, that we will get through this. Radio Free Lewisburg is a platform for conversations about this adapted life we're all living, and we would love to hear from you. How has your life changed since last week? Is there something special you've done? A new hiking trail you've been walking? Do you need help? What questions do you have about COVID-19? To contact us, you can email radiofreelewisburg@gmail.com. You can call us at 570-523-0114, and you can message Lewisburg Neighborhoods on Facebook. We would like to talk to as many of you as possible. Today on Radio Free Lewisburg, Sam Pearson on what we can and should be doing in our community.
They just gave us their debt in the 21st century. The world's greatest newspaper, now 10p cheaper in the 21st century.
Hi, Sam.
Hey, Julie.
Hey, can you tell us who you are?
Sure. My name is Sam Pearson. I'm the manager of the Lewisburg Neighborhoods group here in downtown Lewisburg.
And how are you doing this week?
I am, as everyone else is, adapting to the current abnormal of having to deal with coronavirus, COVID-19, and all of the disruption it's causing for everyone.
What have you been up to specifically this week in this new adapted life?
So on the one hand, for Lewisburg Neighborhoods, I'm working on trying to keep people informed about what's going on and how it affects the community and themselves through our existing communication channels, like our website and email list. But I'm also now exploring new ones like this. This is a great mm-hmm. concept. And also checking in physically, just with the borough. We have all sorts of stuff that we've had to put on hold, like everyone else has. Mm-hmm. Like, I've been checking on trees and plants that we've planted in the past few years, looking for trash. Because we've had to cancel all our tree plantings and community cleanups and other public gatherings, of course. And also just taking notes because, you know, some people may be able to or want to help out with those things even on their mm-hmm. own now.
That's right. Yeah, I think some of us have more time on our hands. I think maybe not everyone, especially those with kids, but some of us have more time on our hands now. Sam, I was wondering if you could just give us a brief, like, elevator pitch of what COVID-19 is.
Sure. So on the one hand, I have to first give the caveat that I am not in any way an expert on this. My background is in other stuff, architecture and planning, but I am interested in public communication and getting vital information to the community. So mm-hmm. with that in mind, what I have from the authorities is that COVID-19 is what's called a novel coronavirus, which means it's new in the world as of the end of 2019. There have, however, and there are other coronaviruses that have been circulating for years. But this is a new one. It has different characteristics than others we've encountered in the past or continue to encounter. And it's very infectious and is basically, at this point, declared a pandemic. It's causing infections worldwide.
And the reason why this differs from, you know, I've had the flu before, and the flu is horrible. And I, as an adult, I've only had it once, and I never want to get it again. And I've heard a lot of questions about why this is more serious than the flu that goes around. Can you just talk a little bit about that?
Sure. So some of the, there is, that's a, that's obviously an issue here, because a lot of people, they just compare it to what they know that is most like it. And so at a very basic level, the flu and coronavirus, COVID-19, can have very similar, they can share symptoms, though the actual array of symptoms, more common symptoms, is different. So for COVID-19, it's very much fever, dry cough, and shortness of breath for the most acute cases. There are other symptoms, though, that some people will get aches and pains. Some people, you know, there's a headache and things like that. But those three are the real key. Now, how it really differs from the flu are in how it plays out. And on the one hand, we're still learning about COVID-19. But we do, at this point, as of this recording, already have over 200,000 cases worldwide documented. Mm-hmm. And so based on that, we have a good deal of data, including the fact that COVID-19 appears to be between 10 and 30 times as lethal as the flu. So that's pretty alarming. So even though the numbers cited are between like 1% and 3.4% mortality rate for COVID-19, and people can be like, well, 1%, that means most people are okay. But if it's 1% of everyone on the planet, or even just half the people on the planet, that's a really large number. So the other aspect is that the difference in the proportion of serious and critical cases is really significant. So for COVID-19, the proportion of significant and serious cases is between 15 and 20%, as opposed to flu, which is 1.5%. And that means this is serious cases, people are getting hospitalized. So 10 times as many people get hospitalized for COVID-19 as for the flu. And of the total 100% of people getting it, 5% need intensive care and are put on ventilators. So again, if you have, that's much more than the flu. And if it's out of a large percentage of the population, that's a real problem.
And we are, as you said, we are all going through this together for the first time. So we're all picking it up more easily. It spreads very easily, and it is more deadly than the flu, which is a bad combination.
Correct. So if you think about it, once upon a time, the flu didn't exist, and it too was novel once. It emerged onto the scene and infected huge numbers of people and probably killed a huge number of people at the time. At this point, it's what's called endemic, and it's just sort of circulating constantly. In any given year, you expect between 5 and 20% of the population to get the flu. And then a population of the country, of the world, whatever. And then of that, you have the death rate based on that sort of smaller segment of the population. The issue for COVID-19 is this is the year that it's new. So no one has ever had it. No one is immune. And so the estimates are that anywhere between 40 and 80% of the population can be expected to get it, which again, if we compare to 5 to 20% in a given year for flu, that's a lot more. It's basically four times as many people expected to get it, and much more deadly. And so while people are, you know, complaining that people are getting worked up when there's only, quote, 100 cases in your city or country, what they're worried about is what happens over the next months. It's not,
right.
It's not just looking at this and saying, oh, we have 100 cases now and we'll extrapolate that across the year. And that just means 100 cases each month for a year. That's only, you know, under 2,000 cases. What it's looking at is, with exponential growth, that 100 cases over the course of the next 2 months or so can extrapolate into massive, massive numbers of people. And we're in control of how many people get it.
And because of that, we, especially in Pennsylvania, as well as some cities and as well as California, we've seen a lot of changes this week. Most of our lives have changed. Some people have lost their jobs. People have their kids at home. A lot of our lives have changed in dramatic ways. As we adapt to these changes, I was wondering, do you have recommendations on what we should all be doing to keep ourselves and our neighbors safe and well?
Great, great. Yeah, I do. I love how you put that with keeping our neighbors safe, because we really do feel like public health is a form of neighborliness. What we need to do is pay attention, listen to the authorities, the Pennsylvania Department of Health, the Centers for Disease Control, or CDC, the World Health Organization, WHO. We can also look to Evangelical Community Hospital here and Geisinger Health System for information, and our county emergency management people. All of those are great sources. We also, so that's what we do, sort of looking outward. Looking inward, we need to think about ourselves and our own actions. And so that takes a couple different forms. On the one hand, we need to enact good hygiene. This is something we've known our entire lives. Wash your hands, right? I think I heard someone say that it's as if we're Dorothy at the end of The Wizard of Oz, and we've known all along how to get ourselves home or to save ourselves. And so in this case, we've known all along that we needed to wash our hands better, and so start doing that right now. In addition, there's some new things that we need to think about, and that takes the form of social distancing, which is a new concept, and I think a lot of us need to start thinking about that and what it means for us personally.
So on the topic of social distancing, something new that we've just been hearing about the last few weeks that we're all talking about now, I was talking to my parents yesterday on the phone. They live here in central Pennsylvania. I haven't seen them for a week. I saw them last week and drove by, and we were able to wave at each other from the window, which was really nice. My parents have quarantined themselves in their house. They're not even going to the grocery store. They are getting groceries by way of their younger friends who go to the grocery store and pick them up and drop them off on the front steps. So my parents, when I spoke to my parents yesterday, they mentioned that they are worried that some of their friends over the age of 60 are still going out to stores and spending time with friends and younger family members. So I was wondering if you could shed any light on, is it important for everyone to stay inside, or just older people and those who are immunocompromised?
Well, so that's exactly what I was saying about looking at your own situation. So on the one hand, your situation has to do with your community and knowing what level of transmission is happening in your community, which is almost impossible given the amount of testing we have. Plus, almost impossible given the fact that testing is all retroactive or retrospective information. The test this week tells us who got infected a week ago. So there are all sorts of people walking around now who are infected but aren't yet showing symptoms. We won't test all of them, but we won't test for a week or two when they start showing symptoms and need assistance. So we need to think about that for our community. We also need to think about it for our own household. And that's where the categories you mentioned come in, whether you're over 60 or you're immunocompromised, or even if you just have other underlying health conditions. That can be anything from asthma to heart disease to diabetes. All of those things make it more hazardous when you get if you get coronavirus, this particular COVID-19. So you need to think about those things. Think about whether you yourself or anyone else in your household has those things. And that's how you would decide whether you need to fully quarantine, like your parents are doing, as you described, or whether you need to implement social distancing in other ways. Because social distancing doesn't just mean locking yourself up in your house. Okay. It's also a set of guidelines for people who are not in those categories. They should and must still be staying at home as much as possible, but they don't have to be entirely confined there. The things that are recommended are to be ultra vigilant with your hygiene anytime you are going out. Basically, you're supposed to assume, act as if you already have it and you don't want to give it to anyone. That's a good rule of thumb. And also imagine that everyone else already has it, and so anything that anyone else has touched could be a vector for you. So that's the hygiene component. And then the other component, the social distancing for the well or the healthy, is to still keep to yourself, like within your household. Don't have other people over. If you are you're needing to go to work, if you're still in a category of a business that is allowed to stay open, you need to still maintain 6 feet of distance whenever possible from other people. You want to, if you're outside the house, to exercise or go for a walk or walk the dog. You still want to maintain that 6 feet of distance from other people you see while out. But you are permitted to do those things. You could go to the store, though, if they have curbside pickup, that might be a better option. But you can, you could also, actually, if you're again in these categories that are, if you're not in a sort of threatened, more vulnerable category, you could consider helping out with lots of different community organizations that are really strapped right now since both increased need with all of the changes to the economy and also loss of volunteers, many of whom are retirees and themselves in a vulnerable category.
Thank you for all of that information. Let me do a bit of a kind of a rapid fire here. Some questions, some things I've been seeing across the community. Well, just as an example, I right now I'm living with my partner and his 89-year-old father. So, you know, I know that what I do now that his father is living with us during this time is pretty different from what I would be doing if we didn't have him in our household. I am assuming that the virus is everywhere if I go anywhere at all. And I'm basically trying, I mean, I'm not coming in contact with anyone or anything, if at all possible. And anytime I do, like when I pick up groceries, I try to wash everything because he's an extremely high risk person right now. And I don't want to get him sick. So I know that my situation is different from maybe other people in my age group. I'm in my early 30s. So for those of us who feel healthy and feel like, oh, this isn't going to affect me very much, is it still okay for people, you know, teenagers or people in their 20s or 30s, is it still okay for them to go out and, you know, like visit with their friends? What should and shouldn't they be doing?
So the recommended guidelines are that they shouldn't be doing those things. And that's for, you know, people in that age category. It stands for teenagers. It stands for young kids. I know a lot of parents who want to set up play dates and they're like, well, we're all healthy. So, you know,
right,
we're fine. I'm only going to interact with people I know. The catch is people you know is not the same as people you know who are that are not to be infected. Like
exactly.
None of us have any way of knowing who is and isn't infected currently.
Exactly. So, and even if you think that you're healthy, you may not be. Like, you know, Eddie and I had to go pick up his dad outside of the community. We drove to pick him up a week ago, and we are very aware that, you know, we could be carrying it. We could have picked it up along the way. And that's another reason why we're staying far away from it, everyone. But, you know, every day that we don't get sick, we're grateful because we could be sick even though we feel healthy now. So it's important for other people as well as yourself to be not setting up those play dates, not, you know, not going to the jungle gym to touch bars that other kids might have touched.
Right. And again, actually this relates to another concept that is new to everyone this week, I would say, but is now on a lot of people's tongues. It's the idea of flattening the curve. And so on the one hand, people may have heard that initially Britain had decided they were just going to, quote, take it on the chin and just try to get everyone to have coronavirus and get it over with. And then a lot of people would be immune and we'd be all great. Right. Fantastic. So that was actually their strategy initially. They then started reading the reports more carefully from the epidemiologists and realized that, again, that 1% or 1 to 3.4% of everyone in Britain was way too high a number of people to have dying.
Right.
So on the one hand, they realized that. The other factor that's in those reports is that the 1 to 3.4% can go even higher if everyone gets sick at once. And there's a really great meme going around. I don't know if you've seen the toilet paper meme where there's lots of toilet paper memes right now.
There are a lot of them. But I'm not sure which one you're referencing.
Okay. So my favorite one, or the one that's most relevant here, is the it's just words saying, you remember when you went to the grocery store and to get toilet paper and there wasn't any? and that was kind of lousy. Now imagine everyone goes to the ER, or not to the ER, sorry. Everyone goes to the hospital because they have a severe case of coronavirus, and a quarter of those people at the hospital need ICU, and there are not enough ventilators. When the shortage of toilet paper was what you were confronting, that was just annoying. When it's a shortage of ventilators, it's going to be much more serious. And
exactly.
When you actually run those, yeah. And you run those numbers, and that's literally what we're talking about, is a shortage of hospital beds, a shortage of healthcare workers, a shortage of ventilators.
Yeah.
People are seeing now we have a shortage of swabs for doing the tests. We have a shortage of personal protection equipment for the healthcare workers. We have shortage, and so those shortages are more acute when everyone gets it all at once. So you going to, you know, hang out with friends, not you personally, but a young person going to hang out with friends, students on spring break on the beach, Bucknell students partying in the Bull Run neighborhood. All of those people are contributing to making the curve nice and steep. And what we really want to do is make it nice and flat. So everyone needs to take part.
So I know I've been hearing things on, I use the Nextdoor app for people in this local area. And I've obviously been on social media quite a lot this week, as I think most of us have been. And which has been a really nice way of connecting with people. I usually try to limit my time, but I have since taken all of those restrictions off. So some of the things I've been seeing, I'm not sure whether they're true or not. And some of them, I feel like they might be misleading. I was wondering if you can recommend where we should be getting our information.
That is really an excellent question. And that was one of the reasons that we put information on the Lewisburg Neighborhoods website pretty quickly, precisely because there can be a lot of confusion and misinformation. So our website, we write up at the top of our coronavirus information, we include links to the Pennsylvania Department of Health, the World Health Organization, the, you know, Centers for Disease Control, the county page, you know, Union County page. All of these organizations have coronavirus information pages, actually a lot of material, of course. So we wanted to make sure people had those key references. We have since also added an entire post about, with additional references and resources, a lot from media, traditional media. And this is where understanding how to assess media and assess information that you're getting is really critical. There's a great guy, and I actually have a link to his information on our page, who does what is called information hygiene. And he really, he recommends that we enact some good public health habits with respect to information, as well as with respect to physical germs. In other words, memes are, can be, they're intentionally infectious, right? So his basic rule is to sift through information. If it's really inflammatory, stop and consider that. Investigate the source. So stop is S, I is investigate the source. And he gives lots of guidelines for how to do that. F is find better coverage. So look, if it is a questionable source, look for it elsewhere. And then T is tracing claims or quotes, or look for the original material in context. And all of those things are a really good way. Yeah. Find where it came from, whether other people, not just other people, but other reputable sources are saying it. There are also some diagrams that can help you understand the level of bias for some different sources. A lot of times people share things and you've never even heard of a source. Considering whether to share some of those, I think people can find them online, but I think those are valuable. This is where it's really important to understand that newspapers of record are really valuable. I think the Daily Item is doing an excellent job. It's being really helpful.
Thank you, Daily Item.
Yeah. They are one of the kinds of heroes we're looking at right now. We're also looking our healthcare workers are heroes, but definitely the people in the newspaper getting us information we need right now.
Yeah, definitely. Sam, as we close for today, is there anything else you would like to share with your neighbors?
Well, I just want to say that I'm we're all in this together. You know, I've found it very difficult to bring this to people's attention, and I'm sure other people are in different places with that. You mentioned, you know, talking to your parents and them sort of being on board with this, but we're definitely, you know, we have lots of occasions to interact with people, and some of them don't want to hear about this at all. So
yeah.
You want to be able to talk to them without either alarming them or sounding alarmist to them. And that's sort of a delicate process. I myself have definitely, I've felt it, the need to put my foot down for some of the elders in my life with varying success. I do think it's worthwhile. And so I encourage everyone to, you know, try to do their part in that respect, not to harangue or harass anyone, but to, you know, to speak up and try to bring this to people's attention if they're not paying attention to it right now.
Great. Well, Sam, I just want to thank you for your time. I guess we will be talking to you soon. I wanted to wish you to stay well, and maybe I'll be waving to you from across town sometime soon.
Excellent. Yeah, we can have a front porch happy hour where everyone just goes to their door and has a blast together.
All right.
Apart.
Okay. Thank you, Sam.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Buying up drug patients, stacking up the cost. In the 21st century. Targeted adverts, they know what you want. In the 21st century.
Radio Free Lewisburg is a platform for community discussion and unity in rural Pennsylvania. We'd love to speak with you. Please email radiofreelewisburg@gmail.com, call 570-523-0114, and message Lewisburg Neighborhoods on Facebook. Be well, and see you soon.
Getting bred out of the pool in the 21st century.
So one thing that's been bringing me a lot of joy this week is getting to spend a lot of time with my dog Vincent. He is a little Maltese, and he is so excited that every day, all day, he gets to be around all of his humans.
Can I trust the sanity of that of our country? Don't retreat into the south. Don't